Welcome to the audio ministry of Grove Park Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina. We pray you will be blessed by today's message.
Mark chapter number 16. Mark 16. Would you pray with me? Nothing ever can, nothing ever will. What a gift to us this morning. As we face the trials and vicissitudes of life, we know that with you, O God, we are always victorious. And so as we come to this text this morning, may we hear the familiar refrains of victory ring out in our souls, that where there has only been defeat, we will hear that you reign, and because you reign, we win. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It was not simply that they knew how the story might end. They knew the story had ended in all its dreaded and life-sucking finality on Friday. These three women had stood and watched the hands whose touch had brought healing, the hands which took Jairus' daughter's hand and brought her back to life. These women stood as those same hands were nailed to the instrument of death. They heard for themselves the cries of pain and anguish erupt from the same mouth that had once brought the message of peace and justice and the announcement of the kingdom of God. They had stood helpless to intervene as they beheld those eyes which had always been bright with love and grace grow dim and close. They were there when the light of the world was laid in the dark and hopeless confines of a hastily borrowed tomb. They understood the finality of Friday so intimately that their task that first day of the week was to simply attempt to delay the ravages of decay and putrefaction on the one they loved. And so they hurried to his tomb very early that Sunday morning, aided by the first rays of dawn, anxious about what they faced. Their anxiety did not center on whether the Lord would fulfill his word that the Son of Man would be crucified and on the third day be resurrected. Their anxiety sprang from the echoes of Friday and the disheartening tones of that large stone grinding into place. That was the only part of the story that lacked resolution in their minds at this point. Who would roll the stone away for them to perform the final acts of service to the one who had served and delivered them. The beauty of this story that these women rushing to the garden tomb needed to be reminded of, and which I dare say we all need to be reminded of this morning, is that we serve the God who is the all-time, undisputed master of revising and extending stories that everyone else thinks are over. They arrived at the tomb believing that the stone, which was an impediment to their duties, to also be a giant period on not only Jesus' life, but the relationship they had with Jesus as well. And what did they find? They came upon the reality that this revising and extending God had moved the period and provided them an opening to discover more of the story. Beloved, for those staring dead in the eye, the period of finality this morning, for those who have tried and failed to revise and extend their own stories, have you taken the time to look to the one who can perform such a task? Have you stopped in the midst of your anxiety and looked up, as the women did, to see where in your lives God is already editing your story and read those fresh lines? It could be, that the period you are staring at is there for a reason. Not to bring an end to your story as you believe and as they believed, but to allow a new sentence or paragraph, or dare we hope, a new chapter in the story of our lives to begin. The life-eradicating problem that so many face, whether it is in our individual lives or in the lives of our churches, is that we have quit believing that God can and still does revise and extend. We live lives of resignation about our presumed ends and fail to press on into the new thing that God is inviting us to encounter. Oh, how wonderful it is this morning that these women, at the moment when they looked up and saw the opening that God had carved into their story, did not back away, but entered into the next lines of God's story for them. And they did not have to read it themselves. God even provided an audiobook. "Do not be alarmed," announced the young man, resplendently robed in white. "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." So many had thought they had ended the story. But those words uttered in a now empty tomb reverberated across the ages as God proved that one thing that can never be revised is the truth that the light has shone into the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. The scribes and Pharisees, who surely thought they had ended this troublemaker and his band of followers, would soon discover that this soon-to-be-empowered crew known as the church would, through the power of resurrection, write larger chapters with even more astounding narratives, not just in Judea and Samaria, but into the uttermost parts of the world. The ancient foe that had tried to circumvent Jesus' mission in the wilderness, that had sought since Eden to usurp the Creator as king, found his story had come to an abrupt end, though he would spend and still spends the ensuing years refusing that narrative. Death which had been the final editor of Every Life since it first claimed Abel, found the pen snatched forever from its cold grasp. The God who spoke and the universe sprang into existence announced for all time the singular authority to revise and extend. Beloved, are you deaf to this announcement this morning as you perpetrate endings in your life that God has not written? The world every day declares there is no reason to strive for peace and justice as news of war and oppression are heralded. Hear this for what that is, a sinful usurpation of God's authority. The world proclaims that might beats right. But make no mistake that that is the message that the Friday's conspirators wanted these women at the tomb and their friends to hear. And yet, the message of resurrection, the message of Easter, is that right prevails. Sin does not get the final say. The triumphant resurrection of Jesus, the prophet of love, the personification of love, the provenance of perfect love, pronounces to each of us that the love of God is mightier than any force that may array itself against truth, and that God will not allow the righteous to be forsaken, hate to reign, and justice to languish. This in and of itself would be enough for our alleluias to erupt. But there is still more to this story. There is a responsibility that accompanies hearing our director call for the melodious notes of victory at the moment that we come face to face with what we thought was sure defeat. The angel instructs the women to go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Go tell the disciples. Go, Mary Magdalene, and tell Thomas, who has collapsed into the pit of despair, to arise, shine, for his light has come and Jesus is alive. Go, Mary. Tell Matthew and Simon the Zealot that they did not abandon their participation in and hopes for a kingdom in this world, for the kingdom of God, for nothing. Tell them their king lives. Oh, and don't forget to go to John. John, who stayed what he thought was to the bitter end on Friday, and tell him that the end was not on Friday, but to go to Galilee so that he can hear more of the story. And so, Salome, go find Peter. Yes, you heard me right. Go find Peter. That Peter. The Peter who pledged his very life for Jesus and yet could not remain awake in the garden. Peter, who turned his back on his friend and denied knowing him. Peter, who bitterly wept. Peter, who now beholds his life as nothing more than a colossal failure. Go tell Peter that though he turned his back on Jesus, Jesus has not turned his back on him. Go tell Peter he still has things to learn from and service to render to his King, the living Jesus. Go tell them all, God desires to meet with you to revise and extend the story of your lives. Beloved, we may be doing very well to read the glad tidings of God revising and extending the stories of our lives this morning. But do we understand that we bear responsibility to go and tell others of God's fervent desire to do the same in their lives? Do we hear the angel's message to each of us to go? Go, Grove Park. Go tell the hungry children at Grove Park Elementary and Williams High School and those all around Alamance County that we refuse for their lives to be summed up in a narrative of hunger. And as we provide them nourishment, tell them also that there is one who speaks to the hunger of their souls and says, come and dine. That God wishes to revise and extend the narrative of their souls today. Go, Grove Park. Go to East Burlington to lives inked by the pain of addiction and biographies articulated through rap sheets and say that God wants to write new chapters in their lives, and we're here to help you revise and extend a story that the world may declare chiseled in stone, but God the Almighty does not. Go, Grove Park. Go to your neighbor who thinks they know the story of God's amazing grace and that it has no room for them. Go to the one who believes the narrative portrayed in the world, a story limited to only a privileged few who require you to look and dress and speak all the same, so that the narrative of God's work in their lives is of no consequence. Go and revise and extend the story they have heard so that not only they learn, there are a multitude of accents and characters in God's story, but they too are found within the story. The part that says that for all those who have believed in Him, He gave the right to be called the sons and daughters of God. Go, Grove Park, go. And as you hear me say Grove Park, understand that I am most assuredly saying your name and my name. Do not hear go and think that it's to someone across the other side of the sanctuary this morning. Much like Zacchaeus heard Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your house. Today, beloved, the message of Easter has come to you and it says go. There is no getting out of the responsibility that you have, beloved. So go, Grove Park, go and revise and extend. Go bring light and hope, love and abounding grace to all. Go. Undergirded by the good news of this resurrection morning and the waters of baptism, how thankful I am this morning that we are celebrating with two who have trusted God to revise and extend the stories of their lives. How blessed are we to witness on this Resurrection Sunday a picture of resurrection and the baptismal pool as under the waters they plunge, dying to sin and self and rising to the newness of life and hope. How beautiful that the 8th verse of our morning text is not applicable to them. Mark recounts, and they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Why Mark writes this, we do not know. Maybe it's a warning to us to not let ourselves be seized by a sense of an ending, but astonished and motivated to discover that which God is still writing in our lives as our stories are revised and extended. Beloved, last Easter, we too celebrated baptism then. And the stories told that day have resulted in others finding their stories revised through baptism subsequently, including today. May hearing their stories revised, their faith stories this morning, maybe it spur you to share your story of the God who is still unfolding before you and others what He has done. And may we, being seized by grace and astonishment of God's work in our lives, reverberate in such a way that the story of Grove Park and Burlington, Alamance County, and North Carolina, our nation and world, may be revised and extended in such a way as to give glory to our risen King, as we say with one unaltering voice, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Thank you for revising and extending, Lord, in my life and in the lives of those gathered here this morning. And Lord, we know that you are not done writing our story, so help us to read what it is that you are writing and to make it our own. To not just read the story, but insert it into our souls, that it would give us strength to run and proclaim. And Lord, if there is one this morning who has never heard that you would love desperately to rewrite their story, may they drop their pen and hand it to you so that the words of grace and hope may be writ large in their lives. That hope and grace would reign. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. Please note our schedule has been revised as of April 2021. Please join us on Sunday mornings for worship at 10 o'clock in the sanctuary at 108 Trail 1 in Burlington, or on Facebook Live. For more information and resources regarding our church, please visit groveparkchurch.net. And remember, grace abounds. Thank you.